Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew and chapter 16. I want to preach the entire chapter if I am able to, and I trust that God will lead in the message this morning. It says in verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Pharisees and the Sadducees came and tested Jesus. Now, Matthew chapter 16, Christ has already presented himself as king. He's already been rejected by Israel. It is a pivotal chapter. In this chapter, the church is going to be mentioned for the very first time. In this chapter, he's going to refer to the crucifixion and the resurrection. And he's going to he tells them he's going to come again and he's going to receive us unto himself. So it's kind of a pivotal chapter where in the book of Matthew, grammatically speaking, Jesus turns the corner. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come and they test him, desiring that he would show them a sign from heaven. They said, Jesus, this is the religious leaders of the day. Show us a trick. Make it rain. Pull a rabbit from your hat. Jesus, do a little trick for us. The Bible says that the Jews require a sign. Jesus said, a wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He responds to them by saying this, you've got Jonah. He's the Old Testament prophet, and he's referring to the resurrection. Look what it says in verse 2. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Red sky in morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor delight, kind of a loose paraphrase of that. He said, you can read the weather, but you have no faith. You're not understanding anything. And man's misguided religion is on display here. Man has made up religions all over the world that is full of opinions and personalities and cultural norms instead of looking to the God of heaven. There are robes, there are candles, there is ritual, and it is outside the gospel of Jesus Christ. A man-made religion is represented by the Sadducees who did not believe in miracles or the miraculous or the supernatural. And the Pharisees who are all about externals and ritual and, you know, bowing at the right time and saying the right things at the right time. And somewhere they got it all messed up. And again, America is being destroyed by empty, Christless religion. It's everywhere, and people are sitting in churches. Now, a lot of them have turned from those mainline denominations, and more are turning all the time, and they're kicking Christ to the curb, thinking that they represent Christ, and they do not represent Christ. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ, really the first century old-time religion, is really about what we're reading here right now. And so he says, listen, you can read the weather, but you don't understand spiritual things. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them, and he departed. Jonas 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the fish, and spit up on ground. And he said, just as Jonas was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the grave. And I'll rise again. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, these disciples were about as deep as you and I are. And Jesus just got through feeding the 4,000. And now Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they say among themselves, oh, we forgot to bring bread. We forgot to bring supper. We forgot about, you know, it's all about my belly. We forgot. This is what he's talking about. And that's not what he was talking about at all. He was talking about sin. He was talking about apostasy. He was talking about an empty religion that doesn't see people get born again. An empty religion that doesn't have an altar call at the end. It doesn't draw the net and draw people to Christ. An empty religion that has funeral services and just throws out a few little phrases about the gospel and then bows their head and dismisses everybody. An empty religion that does not change lives. And Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. It just takes a little leaven, and it leaveneth the whole loaf, the whole clump, the whole lump, all of it. Doesn't take much sin. Doesn't take much of man's religion to take away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when his disciples heard, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said, take ye and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? He's saying, it's not about food. It's about apostasy. It's about leaving the very reason I came to this earth. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. He says in verse 9, do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? He says, listen, I can meet your every need. You don't have to go to man-made religion. I'll provide your bread and I'll butter it too. You beware of the sin that enters into the camp. The sin that permeates like a cancer and takes over. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. And the people, the born again people of Fundamental Baptist Church are just as susceptible to sin as those that are outside the family of God and are not born again. We still got that old nature living within us. And the moment we cease to follow Christ, then we become susceptible to the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we can become just like them. That is a word of warning. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm warning you, fellas. I'm telling you. Beware of sin. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then he goes to verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them to beware of the leaven of the bread. Not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi. Now I'll give you a little bit of background here so you understand this. He's going to introduce the church. The church is the bridge. Think about it this way. My words, so they're not great theological words, but it's a good picture. The church is a bridge between Old Testament Israel and the kingdom. Not a single Old Testament prophet prophesied concerning the church. Those major prophets, those minor prophets, they didn't even see the church. It was a Jewish mindset. Promises are going to be fulfilled to Israel. The church is grace personified. The church is God looking down from heaven and saying, I'm going to give the world one more chance. Jew and Gentile, I'm going to give them another chance. Jesus, the Messiah, went to Calvary. He dies on the cross. He sheds his blood. He provides eternal salvation for everyone who will come to him. He goes to the grave. He rises again on the third day. He tells his followers, he said, you go to Jerusalem, you tarry ye in Jerusalem, and you wait till you be endued with power from on high. And 120 people met up in the upper room. By the time the Holy Spirit came, and he came on the day of Pentecost, 10 days later, and the church was born, and that 120 people left that upper room bold like they had never been before. Empowered like they had never been before. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people get saved. The first day of the church, there are 3,120 people in the city of Jerusalem, and it didn't end there. Man, they reached the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the first century without social media, without anything electronic. The gospel went everywhere they went. There are at least three passages in the New Testament that says that they reached the whole world. Ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. The church is God's idea. We are right We are in it. Man, we are here. This is the church age that will end with the rapture and then the tribulation and then the millennial kingdom. But we're rescued from this world. The church is God's idea. The old ship Zion. We are privileged. Let me say that again. We are privileged not only to be saved by grace and kept by the power of God. We are in Christ and we are privileged to be left here in this world to be part of the New Testament church to reach the rest of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This might shake you right down to your piggy bank, but you're not here to make money. Amen. You're not here to get nice clothes. Right. You're not here to have prestige and power. Yeah. We're here to reach the lost. Amen. And God said, Jesus said, I will build my church. Oh, let's read on. I got some good preaching here ahead of you. So do not, ahead of us, do not stray. He says here in verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art, Jesus first says, whom do men say that I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. They said, Jesus, some say you're John, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the other major prophets. Man is confused. Man is misdirected. Again, keep your hands off the word of God. Keep your hands off the old gospel of Jesus Christ. Just proclaim what God has given. He says in verse 15, and he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now, Jesus had already taught them this. Some of them were catching it. Some of them weren't. It just so happened. And Peter, this is new to me. I was reading a man's commentary on this passage of scripture. We sometimes think Peter was the first one to realize it. No, it was pointed out. And I read it with what was shared. And I thought, well, that could be true. He may have been the last person to understand it among the disciples. He may have been that Johnny come lately that just kind of no filter Peter, right? Just kind of spits it out. He said, Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah. You're the promised one. The word Christ is a title. It means Messiah. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, we got to understand this first of all. Jesus declares, Peter echoes it, his deity. Jesus is God. We need to understand that. If Jesus is not God, then what happened at Mount Calvary does not pay for our sin. He is the very Son of God. Can I word it this way? He was the super God-man that came of his own will, came down to this earth to pay for Tim Rader's sins. He's deity. John said, let's go to 2 John. 1 John, let's go to 1 John. As quickly as you can turn there, hopefully I can find the passage quick enough, all right? 1 John, all the way back to the end of your New Testament. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Chapter 4, same book of 1 John, look at verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ, remember Christ means Messiah, promised one. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. You see, that spirit of Antichrist says that Jesus is not God. Look at 2 John and verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So when that cultist comes and knocks on your door and he says, now let's get down to brass tacks. Understand that Jesus is a Son of God. You throw him out of your house. He is. You don't give him the time of day. You don't bid them Godspeed. That's what John said. They're denying that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. So who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're John, some say you're Isaiah, some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the other Old Testament prophets, just another good guy. Peter, who do you say that I am? Thou art Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, Peter. You got that from God the Father. Look, he got that from Jesus himself. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Go back to Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus answered and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, Aramaic for Peter. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now here, look at verse 18. And I say unto thee, I got a lot to say about verse 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And you know, that's the word Petros. And upon this rock, Petros means little stone. Petra means great rock. And upon this great rock, Peter, you're the little stone, but upon this rock, this great rock, I will build my church. Other foundation can no man lay than that is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. All right? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me look down here, notes here. Okay, Petros, little stone, is masculine in gender. Even the grammatical structure, Greek structure of this verse tells us who the rock of the foundation of the church is, and it's Jesus. So Petra, or Petros, little rock, is masculine in gender. Petra, big rock, Jesus referring to himself, is neuter. And an antecedent gender must agree with one another. When he said, Thou art Peter, and you're the little rock, and I am the big rock. I'm the rock Gibraltar. I'm the rock of the church. Those are two different genders. They were not agreeing grammatically, even grammatically. And then Peter, in the next moment, Satan uses Peter to try to keep Jesus from going to Calvary. By the way, so I just say this for our Catholic friends, and I emphasize the word friends. Peter, if he was the first pope, you know, he's the one that didn't go to Rome. He's the one that went to Babylon. And I've heard them explain that away. It doesn't wash with me. Peter in Matthew in chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, had a mother-in-law. Peter was married. Who would have a mother-in-law and not be married? Who would choose that, right? That makes sense. Peter had a mother-in-law. And then Peter denied Christ. Some of you are still getting that. A little slow crowd here this morning, I know. So Peter is not the rock upon which the church is built. Jesus is the rock upon which the church is built. And then we read here, and let me say this before I go any further. This takes place, look up in verse Caesarea Philippi, about 150 miles north of Jerusalem at the foot of Mount Hermon. The snows of Mount Hermon would turn into two great rivers and come down to Caesarea Philippi, which, by the way, was the forbidden city in Jesus' day. It was sin city. Think of it like as a resort city where self-indulgence reigned. Immorality everywhere. It was there that, I'm trying to see if I wrote down the Caesar. Herod the Great built a temple unto Caesar for Caesar worship in that very city. The temple of Pan was there in that city. That's the half goat, half man temple they worship. In the springtime, all kinds of debauchery and immorality, no rules, pornography, adult entertainment, materialism, self-indulgence. Man, it sounds like America today. This is what it sounds like. People went there for just to let go and for debauchery. Jesus takes his disciples to that very city. And he points, and those great waters coming from the snows of Mount Hermon. And there's all kinds of caves there. And what I've read is all kinds of hot springs and so forth. So there's a lot of steam protruding out of all of those caves. They referred to it in their day as the Gate of Hades. Isn't that interesting? Now, it isn't, but that's what they referred to it, because it was all about sin. Jesus takes them there for a word picture. He says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Not only figuratively, but literally. Man, I read the last chapter. The church wins. We win in every way, in every situation. That's how it's going to work out. So don't go the way of the world. Don't go the way of sin. God has a great plan. Look back here at Matthew chapter 16 again. I'm going to start wrapping this up. It's going to take me a couple minutes. Verse 18 says, But I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, and upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. It's Christ's church. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. He is the head of the church. He said, I will build my church. Good reminder for you and for me both. and for every preacher that hears this. It's Christ's church. It's not your church. I get to join. I get to be part of it. But it's Christ's church. You know who the boss is here? Our God above, Jesus Christ. You know where our headquarters are? Heaven. You know the marching orders and our manual? Right here. The Word of God. It's Scripture. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys speak of authority. Man, they were going to preach the gospel. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, the church is a special place. It is. The New Testament local church ordained of God is a special place. That's why he says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Oh, I can worship God at the lakeshore. I can worship God in my boat. I can worship God in my cabin. That's wonderful. But you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. People do that. And even if you get closer to the rapture of the church, man, do not forsake. Again, let me quote Dr. Lee Robertson, been in heaven for years. Don't miss a single church service. Three to thrive. Three to thrive. You want to thrive? Man, don't miss a meal. Otherwise, you end up that 99-pound weakling, figuratively, spiritually speaking, and you don't want to be there. He says here in verse 21, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. See, he's telling them this is going to happen. Then Peter took him. And I verse 22, Peter took him. Impulsive Peter. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. This is God. Oh, Peter, he just got through saying, you're the Messiah. You're God in the flesh. You're deity. You're the very Son of God. We know that. Peter, you've said well. You've learned that from our Heavenly Father. And then he tells him about Calvary, how he's going to be abused and scourged and the beard pulled from his face and nailed to an old rugged cross and hang there for 6 hours. And they're going to take his corpse down after he dismisses his spirit and put him in a borrowed man's tomb. And on the third day, he was going to rise again. And Peter says, no, Jesus, they're not going to kill you. I'm not going to let that happen. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's powerful. I don't want to read too much into that. Peter took him, began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. That's a pretty powerful statement too. You want to be an offense to God? Love the world. Yep. Not the things of God. When Jesus, God in the flesh, said to Peter, thou art an offense unto me. I read that and like my bones shook. I thought, man, am I an offense unto the Savior? Because you don't savor the things of God? Verse 24 said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Pretty simply put, this is discipleship. He says to all of his disciples, listen, if you'll surrender, if you'll get born again, and then you surrender, and then there's service, you follow me, I am going to use you. Verse 25 says, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I'll preach some of that tonight. You don't know life without Christ, I promise you that. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is priceless to God. Your soul means everything to God. If you were the only sinner in the world, God the Son would have visited this world to make a way for you to come to heaven. Again, the church is grace personified. The church is God giving the Gentiles and this whole world yet again another chance to hear the gospel and go to God's heaven. Israel carried the ball. Well, we go all the way back to the garden. Man failed. And God gave him another chance and another chance. And then finally, the day of Pentecost, and the church is born. And man gets another chance. And during the tribulation, there'll be the 144,000. And some men will get another chance. There'll be an opportunity in the millennial kingdom for those that are children of children and their great-grandchildren, and they need to receive Christ. And towards the end of the kingdom, they'll get that opportunity. God is the church where we're at right now. Is God giving this whole sinful world another chance, one more chance to go to God's heaven? What a merciful God we have. Yeah. Look at the last couple of verses. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. Simply put, Jesus is coming, and he's bringing rewards. Jesus will reward those who are faithful. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So many people stop reading right there, religious leaders, and they think that's talking about, oh, you know, before Jesus ever comes, you know, we're going to see God just, he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. Read the next verse. Go to chapter 17. And he talks about the three on the Mount of Transfiguration that see Jesus in his glory. That's what it's talking about there. So simply put, it's this. Man has misguided religion. Every stripe, every type, stripe, color, age, man's got a better idea. But God has a great plan. And he said, I'll build my church. I'll build my church, and the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. We win. And then he establishes his deity all over again. They've already been taught. Peter says, thou art the Christ. We know who you are, Jesus. You're the Messiah. Christ being titled. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus tells him what he's going to do going to Calvary. Jesus and Peter said, no, not on my watch. And Jesus says, Peter, you're an offense to me. Get thee behind me, Satan. The church of Jesus Christ is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ has one head. His name is Jesus. Amen. We are the bride of Christ. He's coming back. And he's bringing rewards. Yesterday morning, we heard on the news that Israel was under attack again. And you say, well, that's not new. No, this is a little different. And if you don't think what I'm telling you right now is absolute, you just check it out. Just get away from the normal talking heads, you know, Netanyahu. This is not like the recent attacks. It's been 40, 50 years. They were attacked by land, by sea, and by air. Hundreds and hundreds of people were killed. Many were taken. Hamas has entered into the land of Israel. They've taken territory. Many were taken hostage. You probably saw some of that video. There are all kinds of Jews being held hostage right now. Netanyahu said, this is going to be a long war, and we're going to attack. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to protect our people. You see, it's a powder keg over there. And one day, very soon, Jesus is coming. And I know you've heard me say that. If you've been here for 43 years, that's how long I've been here, you've heard me say that thousands of times. If you've been here 10 years, you've heard me say that probably hundreds of times and communicated that one-on-one with many people. But I'm telling you, one day the trumpet sounds and we're in the presence of God. And it's going to be very soon. So don't bury your head and mock the second coming, the rapture of the church, like Peter prophesied would happen. Understand, we are not children of the dark. We're children of the light, and we know what's going on, and Jesus is coming. Very, very soon. I might get to eat supper in heaven tonight. And you might too. You understand, twinkling of an eye. We'll be rewarded. Live for God. Let's reach the world. One more time. The church is a picture of grace. But for the grace of God, I'd be in hell. The church, this whole age, is God giving this wicked world another chance. At least one more chance to go to heaven.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbc.org. www.thegoodbookonline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.